People live their lives bound by what they accept as correct and true. That's how they've defined reality. But what does it mean to be correct or true? Merely vague concepts. Their reality may all be a mirage. Can we consider them to be simply living in their own world, shaped by their beliefs?
All right, so I'm Demetrius.
Now I'm Demetrius,
And MeetsMeet presents.
a Blurred City podcast.
As you can hear from that eloquent opening that we had, we are touching on the Itachi Uchiha today, one of the most legendary ninjas in all of Naruto. Probably top 10, I would say, bordering on top 5 with a lot of the characters. But with that, we're getting into the Uchiha character study series, the series that we've been trying to do for weeks now, but we're finally on track. So this week, we're going to start with Itachi Uchiha. Next week, we're going to do his little bro, Sasuke Uchiha, and then finish it up with one of the most diabolical Uchiha to ever live in Madara. So before we get into all the action, let's get you with that legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so with that, we're gonna jump straight into it. So, Meet, can you lead us? Well, as we like to do with our character study series, we like to introduce them, the characters' breakdown, their past, are they relatable, kind of walk through their journey to get to where they are, their philosophy on different things, and just kind of like how their impact is also on the main character and the characters around them. So, today we have Itachi Uchiha, Clan Slayer, Akatsuki member, and hero? Question mark. So Meech, can you kick us off?
Yes, so none other than Itachi Uchiha, first referenced in early Naruto, as the person whom Sasuke Uchiha, the main deuteragonist, wants to kill. But as we know, like over the course of the story, at first you see him as a complete and total monster, but then the layers get pulled back. The layers get pulled back, and you start understanding more about his character and why he did what he had to do. And this all started literally from his birth. As a child, he's the older, the first son of Fugaku Uchiha and Makoto. Basically, since the age of 4, all he's known is war. It's crazy because, the third great Shinobi War happened, one of the most destructive and one of the most the most casualty heavy war up until that point. Because again, fourth great ninja war
Yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
confirmed, but all of that pretty much traumatized the man. Traumatized him. He wanted to be a pacifist. He had a goal of, just wanting to be the top ninja in order to stop all the fighting in the world. Of course, like the year after that, Sasuke, his younger brother, is born, and that's when he started training with Shisui Uchiha to become, the best there ever was, and they become the best friends. And then literally not too long after, the Nine-Tailed Fox happens, aka
Absolutely.
Naruto's a birth. So of course, with that, more destruction, all types of havoc. And now the Uchiha are basically left as the pariahs of the Leaf Village because of the fact that Obito was the one who released it. But nobody knew it was Obito. Everyone thought it was Madara. So essentially the Uchiha basically got sent off into a concentration camp. Oh, I'm sorry, walled off into another side of the village. Where right afterwards, by 6 years old, Itachi enrolled into the academy where he was the top of his class, learned everything, was able to do everything proficiently. He was the best there ever was. He had perfect grades. He was undoubtedly the best. And because of the fact he was able to graduate early, and of course, Donzo couldn't have any of that. Donzo, he was like, hold on. Why this Uchi? Why this little old chick? Nah, I ain't gonna say nah, I ain't gonna say nah, I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna say it. He's like, why the Uchiha doing well? Oh no, nah, we need to take him down a peg. But unfortunately, tragedy of course follows him everywhere.
Yeah, if you want to keep on touching on that.
Oh yeah, so of course, like he becomes a genin, he's joining on the crew. He actually be became basically a chunin from genin level. Essentially what happened is that he mastered ninjutsu very quickly. Basically there was a situation where his crew got attacked by actually Obito of all people, and he awakens his Sharingan. And because he got his Sharingan, he was able to essentially master it, and he manages to learn a lot about the Anbu and the root, and they had him become one. He basically becomes one. Of course, he's like literally age 11 at this point, so he's the youngest Anbu member ever.
Insane, yes.
Where he actually works alongside Kakashi, and they know like, oh dang,
He's
these two is a problem together.
different. Yeah, so it's interesting that we touch on Itachi so early, because a lot of this is revealed in Shippuden. Actually, like in the first series, the only time, well, the few times that we see him, we only know him as the menace, and then the few times that he's referenced, he's the person that Sasuke wants to kill. So, what was your first feeling when we first saw like Itachi pull up on the screen?
Oh yeah, no. When I first saw Itachi pull up, I'm like, oh he, oh yeah, we he needs to go. He is an ultimate problem. He needs to go. Of course, at that time, all you know is like from what Sasuke and Kakashi heard, it's like, hey, this guy's a problem, and he killed the entire Uchiha clan. And then once you see him pull up, and we're gonna get into what he does to Kakashi and what he does to Sasuke to make you go, oh yeah, this is your typical evil villain sibling. Think Azula. Well, he wasn't really as mad as Azula, but still like an Azula type or a Sesshomaru or even like early Byakuya.
Yeah, I remember the first time seeing him, just absolute fear. No, we're touching on his life chronologically, so I'm not gonna get too in depth on when he made his appearances, but when he did make his first appearances in Naruto, you felt the whole just like everything shift. You felt so much fear. The music changed, the characters around them changed, the absolute fear, and even the top level ninja, when they confronted him, it wasn't about defeating him necessarily. It was more about survival, because that's all they could do in the first series. So, going forward, if we can continue on with just like him having, again, as most ninja in this life had, a tough go at it, especially in this generation post Third Great Ninja War.
Oh yeah, because as I said, he works under Danzo, like specifically. He's doing everything an Anbu does. He's basically like the pride and joy of the Uchiha clan, especially his family, even more so than Sasuke, of course, causing Sasuke to develop a little bit of an inferiority complex. And of course, he basically felt that like isolation. Because of the fact, like, hey, he's better, literally better than everybody else, and nobody besides Shisui. But then, of course, comes the moment where Shisui was like, then the two of them, they were talking, they're like, okay, the it's like literally, he finds out Donzo's basically like, yeah, we about to take them Uchik out, the Uchiha out, and of course, like, peace wasn't gonna be achieved. Like there's about to be a whole civil war. Hopefully, like Shisui can use his Sharingan ability to like,
Control.
to control the Uchihas into like staying. But unfortunately, Danzo decided to screw all that up and take one of his eyes. And then Shisui say like, "Okay, Itachi, protecting the village. It's on you now." So he plucks his own eye out, gives it to Itachi, and falls to his death. Which causes Itachi so much anguish that he decides to go and become a he gets his Mangekyo Sharingan. So yeah, and then of course like some other Uchiha they decide to attack him because they think like he killed Shisui, and of course that worked out about as well as you expected it to. By this point again, and now he's age 12. That's set within a year.
It's so insane because of the backdrop of the Uchiha being one of the strongest clan, well, probably the strongest clan at the time within the Hidden Leaf Village. But at the same time, them being the entirety of them being blamed for the attack of the Nine-Tailed Fox due to Obito, who we covered in an earlier character study series, and just his impact on that because of him using the Sharingan and just like the politics behind it. You saw how they were kind of like they went from the top clan to a third rate isn't the word I'm looking for, but it's just like kind of like
Second-class
outcast.
citizen.
Yes, second class citizens and outcasts of them. But it's so interesting because we never initially view them that way. Because in the mainline Naruto series, when it's Sasuke and he's the last member of his clan, they're like, oh man, that dude is an Uchiha. Oh man, Kakashi, he has the Sharingan, which you get from the Uchiha were them people, them ones like that. And that's how they talked about the Uchiha, all of Naruto essentially. And then it's like, oh man, Itachi is the boogeyman of the Uchiha. So transitioning into Shippuden, when we start learning about his backstory and how actually the Uchiha, we're gonna get right into what happens next with the massacre, but how the Uchiha weren't necessarily viewed as the patron saints of the Hidden Leaf Village, which is so interesting.
Yep. And now in comes the true tragedy of Itachi's character, where basically like he finds out from his dad that like, oh yeah, they about to like start that civil war, and like Fugaku, like he wants him to like wants Itachi's help in doing that, but instead Itachi decides to go to the village, like go to the council with the third Hokage, and basically, because he went to the third Hokage, Danzo finds out, and Danzo basically orders Itachi like, "Hey, we gonna you either support the clan, cause a whole coup, cause a whole war that will kill everybody, including your brother, or wipe out the clan before the whole thing starts, wipe out your whole family, but we spare Sasuke." Itachi chose the latter. So because of that, like, you could tell like Itachi was tormented. He was very much has so much guilt. Like he felt like this is not what Shisui would have wanted. And but then he decided to go through with it and discover Madara Uchiha, aka Obito. And they both decide to work together to eliminate the entire Uchiha clan. And then, of course, Itachi is the one to kill his own parents. Younger Sasuke is there. He's like, "Why are you doing this?" And he basically goes like, "Hey, it's because I want to test my own power. But you know, like that is not what you want, because this man Itachi was like filled with tears, and but he had to like pretend to be a villain so that way Sasuke will have somebody to basically grow strong enough to kill." Basically himself and by extension
This,
Madara, aka
of course,
Tobi.
yes.
Aka Tobi. So because of that, like, he leaves the village. He's labeled a traitor, but he decides to infiltrate the Akatsuki and do his best to basically subterfuge the whole thing of keeping them away from the Leaf Village as long as possible. Where he basically is given his partner in the form of Kisame.
So this is absolutely crazy, like thinking about Itachi having to be a double agent against his own clan or to protect the village, which was the choice that he was presented with, and even betraying Shisui's, that's how I say it, right?
She's sweet.
Shisui's final wishes, because he wanted to save the clan in a peaceful way, but with that not being possible, like that's the reason he took his own life, because he didn't want to hurt the clan, and to for Itachi to have to, just wipe them out completely definitely broke him, especially considering the fact that he had to, attack Sasuke. I believe he put him in a genjutsu
Yep.
on that night as well, yes, to torture him, and that's so much pain that he inflicted. A question that I had, do we ever see Danzo in the first Naruto series?
Nope.
So it's really interesting how he becomes such of a big character for a whole chunk of Shippuden, especially bridging the gap between Sasuke, post Orochimaru into the big fight.
Oh yes. Yeah, 100%.
So from yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, who are you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that from there, as he joins the Akatsuki, like you mentioned, then we finally meet him in the first Naruto series twice, I believe, post the invasion of the Hidden Sand Village, correct?
Yep. So essentially what happens is that Itachi, this is years. Again, this is years. He's already hunted down some tail beasts. He recruiting various members like Deidara, who absolutely hated his guts. Orochimaru tried to steal his body. Of course, that went about as well as you expected it to. So essentially, right after the events of, right after the events of where Gaara just went full One Tails, crushing the village, it's right after, Orochimaru killed the third Hokage. Then Itachi and Kisame pull up on this recovering village. It's like, oh yeah, let's go kill a bunch of people. Let's try to get Naruto ASAP. But of course, once they arrive, they get approached by the Jonin Squad, aka Asuma, Kuranai, and Kakashi. Ooh,
Ooh.
ooh, was it? And this
Ooh.
yeah, this is his official first appearance in the series, and this is where we knew this was a he was a problem.
Poor Kuranai.
Oh
My
yeah,
goodness.
no, what she firstly, Kakashi told you that, yeah, no, this man is a pure, he glazed the mess out of Itachi. He's like, yeah, he is a true genjutsu master. And what did she try to do?
Lord have mercy.
Put
Put
him
him in
in
a
genjutsu.
genjutsu.
What? I know genjutsu is your specialty, but what made you think in any universe your genjutsu was gonna match?
Yo, he like completely wiped that out. That was so funny.
Yep. And then what he does to Kakashi is also just as
Diabolical.
diabolical by putting him in his Tsukuyomi, aka his Mangekyo ability, essentially torturing him for 72 hours in the span of a few seconds.
Insanity.
This knocked this man Kakashi out cold.
And this was the thing about initially with the this like his introduction is one of the reasons why people fear the Sharingan so much, like as viewers and readers and stuff like that, because obviously Sasuke he had the early version of it, so that was able to like improve his movements, read the abilities of his opponents, and so forth. Then with Kakashi, he was able to do copycat, and obviously we don't know he has a Mangekyo until like later on in the series when we get to Shippuden. So with Itachi, where it's just like, yo, they were like, look at his feet, you cannot look at him in the eyes whatsoever, or that's like an instant genjutsu. So definitely like introducing that of how powerful he is, and that scene is just crazy to that. So then there's no more to that, right? Because they just get washed, right?
Oh yeah, no. Team gets washed. Then Guy pulls up, and Itachi's like, "Hey, this is Guy. He's that guy. Let's pull out for a little bit."
The disrespect for Kakashi, but it kind of shows how Guy is so used. I think he was the one that says always look at the feet because he's used to fighting Kakashi all the time, so he knows how to combat the Sharingan.
They withdraw, and then probably the most diabolical thing, because again, he disappears for an episode or two. Naruto, he's out here training with Jiraiya, and they're at a hotel. You hear a knock at the door. Naruto opens it up, and there's Itachi.
Oh boy.
Firstly, Itachi knocking on the door to get is like, "Hey, listen here, little Naruto. I'm gonna need you to step outside real quick.
Come with us.
You need to come with us." And then, of course, Naruto, he sees the eyes, and he's like,
Uh-oh.
oh, it's you. Oh, you the one who's, oh no. And then, of course, at all times, this is when Sasuke finds out and pulls up to where you see the first time them two have met in years. And the rage in Sasuke's eyes as he creates a Chidori so powerful it starts peeling the skin off his own hand, to see his brother die. And all Itachi can do is like, oh, using the Chidori. Cute.
He's like,
I see it out of his hand. Come on.
He's like, bro, I'm not here for you. We can do this later. I'm here for Naruto.
He knocks the Chidori out of him, kicks him, and then Sasuke decides to come back. And then Itachi just breaks his hand, kicks him to a wall again, grabs him. He's like, hey, listen, you want to know the reason why you're so weak right now? You don't have enough hate. And then puts him in a genjutsu again, back to that first night. Rewatching his parents die again.
It's like TV off with with Kendrick, where it's like, it's not enough. Your hatred is not enough.
Yo, hatred not enough. Little gangster comes in here, dude, not enough.
Dude, literally Sasuke's entire thing in this first, it's not a season, but the first part of Naruto is, yo, I hate Itachi. I want to kill him. I'm doing all this training so I can get to Itachi. And then obviously this is post the Gaara fight. So he's already like on edge. So like my entire life, I really hate you, Itachi. I'm trying to get you. And for you to just like dismiss me and then wash me.
Disrespectfully.
So this is what eventually, which we'll cover next week, with Sasuke sets him off on the path to Orochimaru and really viewing Naruto from annoying teammate to a rival that he has to overcome.
And then also, again, going into Itachi's mindset, he's doing all this because he's like, he knows his brother ain't strong enough yet. It's like, nah. I need him to get stronger. But yet, as he mentioned earlier, it's like this actually leads him down a path of darkness, which Itachi does not consider at all. So yeah, at this point, then Jiraiya steps in.
Thankfully.
And Itachi's like, oh, wait, hold on. This is one of the three Sannin. Nah. Let's pull out right now.
After Jiraiya uses, like, he summons him inside of the toad, which is interesting because, you know, Orochimaru is a Sannin, and then for Itachi to easily defeat Orochimaru by, you know, not wanting to fight another one. And this is, I believe, the first time we see the Amaterasu, which is an insane jutsu.
Yep, and it's not even named in the original version. Like, you just see black flames, and that's it. And you're like, what in the world did he do? But also, again, it's revealed much later that the reason he actually came to the village in the first place was that, like, he heard that the third Hokage died, and he decided to pull up just to remind Danzo and the crew, it's like, hey, I'm still out here. I can wreck your life in 2 seconds. If any harm comes to my brother, you will die. Painfully. So yeah, and then of course, like, as part one ends, he learns that like Sasuke is joined up with Orochimaru, and then part two happens, Shippuden.
Yeah, part one, I do think they did such a great job of making him a villain. Obviously, since we're going in chronological order, we know what went into his mindset, what went into his thinking. It's also interesting to think that he was part of also recruiting Hidan, and then just also teaming up with Pain, and Pain we covered as well, where they both have similar trauma associated with the third great ninja war, and they want war to end. But what they have to do to stop war is to be essentially villains, and they like go down the path of a lot of destruction with Pain. We talked about how he killed so many people in the process and pursuit of, you know, capturing the Jinchuriki, and then also what he did to Konoha, which was insane. But even with Itachi, had to massacre his entire village just to stop a civil war within his own clan. Well, not clan, inside his own village. So yeah, so then we have to get into where we actually do learn this backstory of Shippuden.
Yep, so it starts with Shippuden, and essentially, like, the Konoha ninjas, like, they're on their way to go try to retrieve Gaara, and Itachi decides to pull up on Team Kakashi, which, again, at this point is just Naruto, Sakura, and Kakashi. Yeah, Naruto, Sakura, and Kakashi, with Lady Chiyo in the background, and essentially, like, at this point, like, hey, again, this is like the first time Naruto's seen Itachi in years, the first time Itachi's seen him in years. And this is where you first get the hint, like, oh yeah, Kakashi got that Mangekyo too. And this is where Naruto, like, he basically out for blood too, because you realize, hey, if I get Itachi, then Sasuke gotta come to me. So yeah, with that, of course, like, Itachi, starts his genjutsus out the gate, nearly takes out Naruto because, like, Naruto, like, looked at his eyes accidentally. He gets taken out, but then Naruto is able to use his giant Rasengan and takes out Itachi. Oop, turns out it was a clone. But Itachi completed his mission. He stalled Naruto's team long enough for them to kill Gaara. And then, of course, like, right after that, Kisame killed the Four Tails, and then it's just a whole lot of nothing's happening.
Well, I think something we can also mention somewhere in this period, post him leaving the village, joining the Akatsuki into Shippuden, we learn, well, not we learn, but it's revealed that Itachi is sick and he has some kind of illness that is killing him, essentially.
He contracts a ninja illness that essentially is terminal, but he's been keeping himself alive with pills, with medicine. And also another thing to note is that since joining the Akatsuki, he's always had this Sharingan active. He never turns it off, which, as we know, like, it consumes chakra for him to keep it active. And the fact he kept it active all the time, that's been weakening him slowly over time too. But yeah, so at this time, we skip, like, pretty much a few arcs ahead to where he, like, essentially, like, he encounters Naruto because he's like, oh yeah, I feel like my time's coming. I basically need to figure. And he just goes, he meets Naruto. He's like, hey, I'm just here to talk. I just want to know why you're so obsessed with my brother. And he's like, nah, because to me, and Naruto goes like, hey, to me, Sasuke's more of a brother to me than you ever were to him. And it's like,
It's tough.
this impressed Itachi because he's like, oh yeah, okay, so we got somebody to, like, take care of Sasuke when I'm gone. And because of this answer, he gives Naruto a special crow, which he does, which we never find out what it was until much, much later. So we're gonna keep that pinned. And so remember that, audience. So right after that, he leaves, and yeah, he basically leaves, and then Sasuke pulls up on the real Itachi.
Tough. This is tough. I do love that we see that his care for his brother at this point in the series, with him going up to Naruto and being like, hey, I know it's my time. I need someone to be there for Sasuke. Let me check you out real quick. What are your intentions? Why do you keep following him? Why don't you turn your back on him when so many basically Naruto's entire village is like, yo, Naruto, you gotta let this dude go. This is even before he goes off the deep end for real. Post killing Itachi, which we will touch on right now with their battle, the fated battle between brothers.
Oh yes, so the ultimate battle. This is where Sasuke, like, firstly they start trading genjutsu, like, hey, I'm gonna stab you. And it's like, and then of course you see the brilliant meme of Itachi just pointing his fingers, like, in another direction. Sasuke looking is like, oh yeah, there goes Itachi posted up on that throne, looking like a real G. And essentially, like, as they're fighting, Itachi, tells them a bit, like, about Madara, and tells them about, like, oh yeah, there's, like, there's the Mangekyo Sharingan, which is slowly turning me blind, right? But there's this thing called the Eternal Mangekyo, which, by transplanting the eyes of my sibling, I can gain permanent eyesight, gain that permanent buff. So I'm gonna use your eyes, Sasuke, even though you don't have the Mangekyo yourself. So you ain't gonna be able to beat me. And of course, like, the fight goes. They're basically trading blow for blow, bar for bar. Sasuke's like using his Chidoris, his fire styles. He's using his curse mark to full efficiency. almost
Indeed.
too much efficiency, as we're gonna get into later. And essentially, like, as they're clashing their fireball jutsus, and Sasuke starts winning due to his curse mark, Itachi decides, all right, it's time. Pulls out the Amaterasu, which we fully see in its glory, black flames, and is like, oh crap, what is that? Oh yeah, it's just an advanced fire style jutsu that will never burn out unless I choose to release it. So of course, like right after that, essentially, like, Sasuke starts throwing fire techniques into the sky, and then it turns out, oh yeah, I did this because I'm gonna use my ultimate jutsu. Chieden creates a giant lightning dragon out of natural lightning, and boom. All right, Itachi, you die.
That was crazy.
Yep.
But then we learn, I believe this is the first time we ever see it, but the
Yep.
Susanoo with the one Itachi pulled out, absolutely insane. And the fact that it's like different for everybody, but seeing that for the first time, I mean, this is one of the, it's actually one of the more underrated fights in Naruto if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's never talked about as like a top 3 to 5 fight in Naruto, but it's like one of the ones that's the most anticipated
And
fights.
most emotional of the fights, because this is,
Yes.
you are literally seeing Sasuke do what he basically, he's doing exactly like what it took his entire life to build up to, his betrayal of the village for more power, taking out Orochimaru and gaining like enough power to think like, okay, I can take out my own older brother. I think I'm strong enough now, only for Itachi to pull up with the Susanoo and say,
Nice.
nah, fam. You still ain't big dog.
Not a little bro.
You still a little bro. Cause I got this Yata mirror that's gonna reflect all ninjutsu. I got this Tosca blade, which can stab and seal anybody in a permanent genjutsu. You and of course this Susanoo protects me from all harm, physical harm. You cooked, my boy. And because of that, like, Sasuke tries tapping more into the curse mark, which causes and of course, like, with him being, tired out from the Kidin, causes Orochimaru to come back to life by taking over Sasuke's body, to which even Itachi is like fully disgusted by, because it's like, hey, you infested my brother's body, and now you take basically taking control and mutated it. Nah, get this stab, my boy.
But again, we see how much he loves his brother because the whole point was he was drawing the fight out just so Orochimaru could reveal himself and to remove the curse mark from Sasuke in this moment. Even as they're going battle for battle, blow for blow, blow. But then with that, Itachi is kind of like at the end of his rope, and this allows Sasuke, once he regains his body, to then finally defeat him.
Defeat is a very strong word,
Lucy.
because essentially, like, again, Itachi, like, as you mentioned, like, he's very like tired, he's winded, he's basically near blind at this point, and
Yes.
it turns out like the Susanoo draws, like, causes pain in every cell in your body, so who knows how. And basically, like, he starts coughing up blood, like Itachi is basically about to die, and he's like, oh yeah, let me get your eye, Sasuke. And then he like points at his forehead, for one last time. He pokes his forehead, which turns out to actually do something else, which again we're gonna get into later. And he said, like, I'm sorry, Sasuke. I won't be able to finish this out, and I won't be able to protect you. And he succumbs to his illness and dies.
Yeah, that was tough. Thoughts on this fight? Again, it was so emotional. The flashbacks, the callbacks that they had between each other, and even, which we'll touch on next week, Sasuke's just rage in this moment. But at the same time, Itachi, he was fighting, like, he was absolutely fighting Sasuke. But the fact that his ultimate move was used to free Sasuke, and then what he does, what you kind of mentioned and how it's used later on, all of this time, it's kind of, it shows if you, you know, a good sibling relationship, even though you can kind of say this might be a toxic sibling relationship to some degree based on what happened. But yeah, just to care for it. And so thoughts with that?
Yeah, I think, this is, again, underrated fight. I think, like, this is, like, a like basically the culmination of, like, what Itachi won is, like, okay, he's gonna, like, oh, yeah, I'm about to die. Like, Sasuke will have, like, no reason. Then we'll see, like, later what ends up happening. But yes, like, as you mentioned, like, this is, like, essentially, like, what a sibling should do. Like, he's doing everything he can for his brother, and I wouldn't say it's talking. I say it's more like, something that, like, he basically comes to realize later is like, ooh, I screwed the pooch badly on this one. Which, let's get into it, where firstly, like, again, he's dead. So it's like, why in the world are we still talking about him right now? Well, this is where all those realizations, like, in the backstory, this is where it all comes to light. Like, everything we told you about his childhood all the way up through the massacre, all the things we told you, like, this is where Tobi basically reveals that information to Sasuke. And also, this is where it turns out, like, when he poked his forehead, it causes Sasuke's eyes to turn to release Amaterasu on Tobi whenever Tobi reveals himself to Sasuke. So he did that to protect him.
It's like a dead man switch, almost.
Yep, basically. And of course, like, Itachi's plan was like, okay, if it's like, essentially his plan was like, okay, I die, and then Sasuke gets to return to the village of Hiro and redeem the Uchiha. Instead, Sasuke decides, oh nah, for the pain of what the village had to do to my brother, and for the, like, what my brother basically had to emotionally endure, essentially like branding himself a traitor. Nah, I need the whole village to run their pockets. I need to commit murder on the Leaf Village. So yeah, and then the fourth Great Shinobi War happens, which is absolutely going bonkers. But then Kabuto reveals, because he's one of the orchestrators of the fourth war alongside Tobi.
Yep.
It's like he can use the Edo Tensei to revive dead shinobi, and one of the people revived is Itachi. And at this point, also, like, he's completely under Kabuto's control, and him and a revived Nagato, their mission is go get Naruto. Then, in my opinion, another underrated fight is resurrected Itachi and Nagato versus a newly Ninetale controlled Naruto and Killer B, where essentially, like, while they're fighting, because of the fact, like, they're resurrected, but they still have their mental faculties, so they're able to conversate normally, conversate, like, do what they normally do. It's just the fact that they can't control what they're doing. So Itachi and Naruto are fighting to where Itachi's like, hey, what happened to my brother Sasuke? And Naruto's like, hey, listen, bro. Your brother went down the deep end. He tweaked out crazy, and he made himself like a whole villain. Every single person is out to kill him, and he wants to destroy the village because of you.
Yeah.
And Itachi's like, aw, crap. Like this was something that he did not realize whatsoever. And then also him seeing Killer B using Samehada, he's like, oh, Kisame's dead too. Dang, that's crazy. But anyways, back to Sasuke.
It's interesting, like, with this fight, both him and Nagato are telling B and Naruto how to kind of, like, combat them. And then touching on the part of the Easter egg that he planted earlier on, if you want to touch on that.
Oh, yeah. So Itachi decides to activate the crow that was inside Naruto this whole time. Turns out, like, from all the way back to before his death, turns out the crow had Shisui's eye in it. And it was supposed to release Kodoha Matsukami. And that was supposed, like, its initial plan was to brainwash Sasuke into wanting to protect the village. But he, like, okay, this situation is way too dire. I need to use it on myself, which breaks Kabuto's control of the which breaks the control of the Edo Tensei from him. So now Itachi is fighting on the side of the peoples. And he's like, okay, I got my abilities. I got my Sasuke back. We're able to seal Nagato with the with that good old Totsuka blade. Yep. Good old stabby stab. And yeah, now...
He's like, I'm going to run some pockets.
Yeah, and now I need to go and just release this Edo Tensei. I won't be back, but y'all take it easy. I'm out. And let me go help y'all real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So as Itachi is running off to go and take out Kabuto, who does he run to? His murderous brother, who just obtained Itachi's eyes to gain the Eternal Mangekyo. And his first plan was, I'm going to go run the Konoha's pockets, because he doesn't know there's a war out there happening.
Nope.
So he's just going to go and try to kill the village. And then he sees his brother back from the dead. And he's like, hey, yo, what? Nah, Itachi, come back here.
Talk to me.
Talk to me. And he's like, hey. So essentially, Itachi, like, he's very much ashamed of himself right now, to where he wouldn't even look at his brother. Mm-hmm. It's only because of fact, like, hey, I screwed up. Like, I shouldn't have manipulated you into wanting to go down this path of revenge. And now you are at a point where destroying the village is absolutely your top priority, which is something I didn't want.
Yes.
And I'm realizing, like, okay, I screwed the pooch. I was like, I did too much. And it calls back to a conversation that he had with Naruto both times, where essentially he's like, why are you taking the burden of trying to fix everything by yourself?
Yes.
Like, as a Hokage, you have, like, a whole team behind you. You have your whole village, your whole family. That's what being a true Hokage is. And he's just realizing, wait, I basically did the same thing by taking on the entire burden of the Uchiha on my own back. And basically, I put all that burden on Sasuke. And he cracked and became a villain.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... not even transitioning, but with that, Itachi is on his mission. Sasuke is continuing on, like, with Itachi as he tries to break free of him, and they run into Kabuto. So with that, Sasuke is like, anybody associated with the Leaf Village has to go. So he wants to take out Kabuto, but Itachi is like, hey, in order to break this reincarnation jutsu, and to free the other people that have been, you know, brought back from the dead, we have to keep him alive. So with that, they kind of get into the battle. We learn that Kabuto has Sage Mode, and he's trying to convince Sasuke, hey, to turn on Itachi because of all the lies. Itachi, it's really interesting. He's so forthcoming now. Obviously, him being dead, he has nothing to keep a secret about, and just seeing kind of like the response that Sasuke went down and the path that he went down because of that. But he's like, hey, I can defeat him if we use the Izanami on him, which is a crazy move. Basically, the Groundhog Day jutsu. But yeah, so he uses that on Kabuto. It's an infinite Tsukiyomi of its own, able to, like, put him in that loop over and over, which is crazy because he eventually rehabilitates Kabuto through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, this Izanami is able to... basically countered the Izanagi, which he also learned that Sasuke killed Danzo, so it was like, okay, that was a plus, but it was also a minus. Yeah. Ooh. But yeah, so essentially, like, as you said, the Izanami worked, and Kabuto is, like, able to release the Edo Tensei, but, like, as Itachi's returning to the afterlife, he tells Sasuke, like, hey, listen, I love you. And, like, he sees, like, his younger brother as an equal, but also is like, hey, I don't want any, like, forgiveness. I don't need you to forgive me for, like, my wrongdoings. Just know I love you no matter like what you decide to do in the future. Whether it's destroy the village, protect the village, or do something else, I'll still love you. In the end, he goes back to the afterlife.
That's tough. And that's basically a story, just the legacy of it all. It's so tough because if we just think about it, he made himself a villain just for his own brother to be in the position to take down Madara. And obviously Naruto gets really weird with the ending with the six sage paths and reincarnation and all of that because they needed to have Boruto. But just kind of like how he empowered him, how he loved his brother, and everything he did was for that and to have peace. And just the path that he had to walk down to do it is so tough. And seeing, I think it's also relatable to the fact that sometimes we think in the moment what we're doing is right, and it's not until we see the consequences of those actions where we see, oh man, I really messed it up. And having the perspective to see that is what I really appreciated in the writing of Itachi, because I do think he is the most complicated character in a show that had a lot of complex and complicated characters.
Oh, yes, definitely. Again, like, there's a lot of people who still love Itachi, who feels like he's a great villain. Some think of him as an anti-hero. Some think of him as an actual hero. And just like his influence on the ninja world, he affected not just Naruto, he affected a lot of people. Not just Sasuke, he affected Naruto, he affected Kabuto, and he affected basically Danzo a bit. But also, again, like, another legacy is that, like, hey, Itachi's eyes are still with Sasuke, and even turned it into the Rinnegan.
Yeah.
Or he loses it.
We don't need to talk about that.
Oh, we ain't talking about that today. I'm sorry.
Until next week.
I'm not even going to talk about it next week. I ain't going to lie. But yeah, it's like essentially just talking about like darkness and... Yeah, it's just like darkness. It talks about just how to, like, not burdening yourself.
Yes.
And just the fact of, like, hey, becoming a martyr in order to protect others.
For the greater good, yeah.
Yep. It's a great character.
All right. So with that, as we wrap up the character study again, next week we're going to be talking about Sasuke. With that, as we covered it from Itachi's perspective, next week we're going to cover it from Sasuke's perspective, go further, because obviously Sasuke, even though his main storyline, his main motives are birthed from his brother's slaying of the village and clan, We're going to touch more on that before transitioning the week after into Madara. So anything else before we get into our what's hot?
No, he's a great character. Also, I do want to mention, because I'm pretty sure viewers are going to talk about it, is the Sunnyside Battle, which was an OVA where Itachi was making eggs. It's a hilarious thing where, like, Itachi is such a perfectionist that, like, it's like one imperfection with making a sunny side up egg, and he had to start all over. It is hilarious. I don't know how canon it is, but if it is canon, Itachi, my guy.
All right. So from there, we're going to get into the what's hot. So that's what's popular in anime, TV shows, gaming, movies, and the like. So with that, Meech, before I get into you, I'm going to just do a quick rundown and tell the people what's hot.
All right.
So first things first, Gen V Season 2 has been confirmed and has a release date that is going to come out September 17th, 2025, meaning most likely the season finale, well, the series finale of The Boys, ideally, will be in 2026. Most of the actors that I've seen, they know how it's going to end. Some of their comments on it have been released. Obviously, no real spoilers, but ideally, in 2026, we get the end of The Boys. So from there, Netflix had their To Doom. It's not a festival, but essentially, a big release and a lot of trailers and release dates of Netflix products. So starting with Squid Game, they released finally an official trailer, not just a teaser. So this season three being the final season, being the final season, I believe it's this month. Yes, June has started. That's crazy. It's actually the first day of June as we record. But so it's coming out this month as we get the last story of Squid Game before they do 20 spinoffs. Wake Up Dead Man, this is the third part of the Knives Out trilogy. So obviously Knives Out, Glass Onion being the second one. That comes out December 12th, 2025. One Piece, they released the visual of Chopper, which was actually a really good rendering of him. That is unfortunately coming out in 2026. Don't know if it's early 2026, mid-2026, or late 2026, but we do have confirmation. Season 2 of the live-action One Piece is coming out next year. Happy Gilmore trailer. They finally released the full trailer for that. I believe that comes out the start of July, but now we have kind of like the backstory of Happy and kind of how he got to this point. All right, so this is where I kind of get annoyed. Stranger Things, the season, the series finale, which has taken forever to release, is going to take more time and more forever to release. So it's going to finish this year. The problem is it's being released in three parts. First part being November 26th, which is essentially around Thanksgiving. Second part is going to be released on Christmas. Have fun breaking away from your family on Christmas to watch this. And then the third part is going to be released on New Year's Eve.
How? So to watch it.
So have fun during the holidays watching. Wait, first of all, why would you release part two on Christmas and then the part three on Christmas Eve, but then have like 1 month gap between part one and part two?
I don't know, man. Hold on. 1 + 1 = 2, right? That's not equal fish.
All right. So then another one, Wednesday, is getting released this year. Ooh. So they're splitting it into two parts. One is August 6th, and then part two is after Labor Day on September 3rd. So all of these we're looking forward to, probably going to watch all of these, but I just hate how they release some of the things sometimes.
Can we talk about why in the world they would do honestly, I kind of blame Stranger Things a bit for just how their release schedule works. Like, oh yeah, we're going to wait like months to years for an 8-episode season and y'all are going to eat it up every single time.
It's weird that they would release on Christmas. Well, maybe because that's when most people are going to be together with a large viewing that can be like an event, but they own, like, they have Christmas football games. So you're going to have competing views on that day between, to go on top of the part that it is Christmas and people won't have to pull away. But I'm confused about that. So, oh well, they know what they're doing. Their stock prices are always up. So, yeah.
Whatever.
So what you got?
All right. So, well, firstly, anime, we got One Piece. We also got, Go-Go Loser Ranger. Thanks to somebody suggesting I officially start Frieren. I'm just starting that. That's cool. Comics, we still got Ultimate Spider-Man staying the best. Amazing Spider-Man being decent. Venom, we're not going to talk about. Spawn stay spawning. The absolute DC verse is getting terrifying because we see what Bane is supposed to be, and I don't feel like I'm ready for that. Also, in the realm of other news, right? Firstly, Multiverses, the Smash Bros. Game involving much of like the HBO. Warner Brothers brand, that's actually starting to dissolve. It's kaput, and yeah. It's going to basically shut down very soon. So the final service, I believe, should be down like sometime this week. So
dang,
hey, go ahead and mess with Multiverses one last time if you like that game. And other news, right? We have the wedding between Hailee Steinfeld and Josh Allen. Big ups to them. I know Shameik Moore is punching the air somewhere. And just know that this may or may not delay Beyond the Spider-Verse. So I can already see it now.
Don't say that. We already got to wait 2 more years.
Listen, there's a reason it got delayed 2 years, because this man Shameik Moore is probably tweaking right now. So yeah, hope, just go ahead and dissolve that. And then oh yeah, now of course, as I said, like FNAF is on Dead by Daylight. Oh yeah, and they also revealed the official credit sequence for the King of the Hill revival on Hulu.
Yes.
And if you don't know what it is, essentially the Hill family, Hank, Peggy, and Bobby, they were overseas in Saudi Arabia for years. And they're just now getting back to their old town with 20-year-old Bobby, who's now a chef. So yeah, this I'm excited for it. I hope it be as Texan as possible. This is my Texan anime. I don't care. I don't take any other competitions.
Oh, I look so forward to the woke versus non-woke battles related to this show.
Yep. And also one last announcement, which I'm very ashamed to announce, is that Squatch, which is a soap brand, has officially announced that they're getting some Sydney Sweeney soap made with her bathwater.
I remember seeing that. I have no comment. I just have no comment.
Where have we gone as a society?
Down the gutter. Is that all you have?
That, unfortunately, yes.
All right, so 2 more things that I want to mention. One is kind of something that's potentially in the ether, not really confirmed, but there have been talks, initial talks, very early talks of a Sinner sequel. Potentially.
Yes.
I don't think the movie needs a sequel. But popularity and stuff like that. And Ryan Coogler doesn't make bad movies. So if it comes out, definitely gonna watch it. It just seemed like a movie with a very clear ending. So with that, one other thing that we would be remiss not to mention, DreamCon occurred this weekend as of this recording. We're recording the final day of it. So that was again something that has been growing, something that has been fun to go to continuously. Just the events, getting to see other nerds, kind of like within our demographics and things like that, and just the connections, bonds we made, absolutely incredible. And then I saw that one dude got punched out. So, so
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it or not.
Of course.
Can't have nothing fun.
All at DreamCon, am I right or am I right?
You are right. Yeah. So with that, let's get our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so for our Instagram, my ex formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we're under BlurCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We also have our Discord linked in said Instagram page. We also have our YouTube and Patreon, Blurred City Pod. Donate some extra cheddar, you get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com, if you want to, go ahead and help us out with help us
Pay our
out by
bills.
giving us episode suggestions and giving us questions for Q&A sessions and all that good jazz. We can go ahead and get something happening. Of course, spam mail gets filled with nothing but our hate mail. So boom. Finally, I'm the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. Everyone got TikTok. What you got?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri underscore dash. That is Mitri underscore dash. For my X last Twitter, that is at the Mad Dash 16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes and Noble. So with that, we will leave you all with some words of encouragement.
All right, when it comes to just dealing with situations and you're forced into like a Sophie's choice, Be sure to consider all the options. Don't think you have to take on the burden alone, because you may just have a community of a whole bunch of people who are willing to be beside you to help lessen the burden.
For me, I will say sometimes conflict resolution will involve another word that starts with C called communication. So sometimes hoping someone will walk down the path that you have laid out for them will ultimately lead them to walking a different path that is unintended. So with that, we will say it's not goodbye forever. This is goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.